Okay, let's unpack this. So you're eyeing that remote work life. Maybe you've just kind of dipped a toe in and you're thinking, all right, what's the real deal here? You know, beyond the flexibility, what trips people up?
That's the critical question, isn't it? The appeal is huge, yeah, but the path is definitely paved with some common, sometimes kind of surprising missteps, things that just aren't part of the traditional office experience.
Exactly. And to help you navigate those, we're doing a deep dive today. We're looking at just one source, an article from Virtual Mentor Hub. It's called Top 7 Mistakes to Avoid When Starting Your Remote Work Journey.
And this article, it really cuts right to the chase. It identifies the pitfalls that can, well, derail new remote workers pretty easily. It's a really practical guide, seems based on common experiences.
So our mission here is to pull out the core insights from this specific article, highlight these seven key mistakes it talks about, and basically give you a head start, a way to spot these issues before they become real problems in your remote career.
Yeah, think of us as guides through this source material.
We're going to walk through each one, explain why it's a problem, according to the authors anyway, and share the solutions they recommend.
It's all about building a solid foundation, really.
All right, let's jump straight into the first one that the article flags. What's number one?
The number one mistake identified is not setting up a dedicated workspace.
This one feels so tempting, doesn't it? I mean, the dream of working from the couch, maybe even staying cozy in bed with the laptop, sounds like the ultimate freedom, right?
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
But the article is quite firm on the consequences here. It points out that trying to work from places you associate with relaxation, like your couch or your bed, well, it sends confusing signals to your brain. Those spots don't trigger work mode, and apparently it kills productivity fast.
So it's less about physical comfort and more about the mental context. Is that the idea?
Precisely. The authors emphasize that your environment strongly influences your focus. So their recommended solution is pretty clear. Create a specific space designated only for work. Doesn't have to be a fancy office, maybe just a corner of a room with a desk. But that physical boundary, it helps your brain switch on when you're there. And maybe just as importantly, switch off when you leave it.
Right. And for you listening right now, think about why having that dedicated space is almost non-negotiable for your focus. It's about creating that consistent trigger. Sitting in that specific spot signals to your brain, okay, time to focus, makes it easier to dive into tasks. You don't have that mental drag of feeling like you're still in leisure mode. And like you said, it helps you mentally leave work behind too.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on. The second mistake the article discusses is poor time management.
Yeah, this is such a fundamental shift from the office, isn't it? You lose that built-in structure. You know, commute times, fixed lunch breaks, colleagues seeing if you're actually at your desk.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
And the article highlights this lack of external structure as the key reason it's incredibly easy to lose track of time. You might find yourself getting distracted and, whoops, hours have slipped away. Or the opposite happens. You might just work nonstop without realizing how much time has passed because there's no natural end-of-day signal, no colleagues packing up and leaving.
So, okay, how does the source suggest we counter that kind of internal free-for-all?
Well, they strongly recommend setting a clear schedule, and this is the key part, actively sticking to it. They even get specific suggesting tools, things like Trello, Notion, or even just Google Calendar. The point is using external systems to impose that structure that the office environment used to provide for you, essentially.
And how can leaning on those kinds of habits and tools really help you stay organized and, well, accountable? It's like creating your own external manager in a way. By scheduling tasks, using tools to track them, you're building visibility. You're building accountability for your work, even when nobody's physically looking over your shoulder. It brings order to potential chaos. Makes sense.
Okay, mistake number three, according to the article, ignoring communication skills.
Right. And the article doesn't really mince words here. It says something like, in remote work, communication isn't just important, it's everything.
And that's because so much of the informal stuff, the contact you get in an office, it just disappears. You don't have those quick hallway chats or popping by someone's desk. So the source really emphasizes the need to be intentional, proactive. They recommend strategies like while over-communicating.
Which doesn't mean just sending more messages.
Well, exactly. It means being really clear, thorough, providing context, not just constant pings. Also, asking clarifying questions early rather than just making assumptions, and consistently updating your team on your progress, your availability.
Did they mention specific tools that help with this kind of communication?
Yeah, they did. They mentioned the familiar ones, really. Slack, Zoom, maybe Asana for project stuff. basically tools that facilitate that necessary level of clear, organized, and frequent communication.
So why are these skills and tools absolutely crucial for your success when you don't have that face-to-face interaction? I guess because the potential for misunderstanding just skyrockets, right?
Totally. Tone gets lost in text messages or emails. Assumptions are easily made without visual cues. And delays in response can stall projects. Mastering clear, proactive communication, using the right channels, it ensures you build trust and stay aligned.
Yeah, vital stuff. Okay, what's next?
Next on their list, mistake number 4, saying yes to every single opportunity.
This feels particularly relevant when you're just starting out, maybe freelance, or taking on new responsibilities in a remote role. There's that urge, isn't there, to just take anything that comes your way. Gotta pay the bills.
Right, but the article flags the danger here. It's about prioritizing maybe immediate income or just feeling busy over what truly serves your long-term career. Taking any old job can spread you too thin. It can prevent you from developing real expertise in a specific area, and it distracts you from the opportunities that align with where you actually want to go.
So what did the Virtual Mentor Hub authors advise then? Just say no.
Well, essentially be selective. They stress the importance of consciously choosing work that aligns with your long-term career goals. Think about, you know, what skills you want to build, what kind of clients or projects you want to attract down the line, and let that guide your decisions, not just whether a gig pays right now.
So how does being selective right from the jump really impact your career trajectory later on? It helps you build a deliberate track record, I suppose, a focused one.
Exactly. You're creating a portfolio and a reputation that says, hey, I'm an expert in X, rather than, well, I kind of do a little bit of everything.
Mm.
And that focus, ultimately, it attracts better, more aligned opportunities. It builds momentum.
Makes sense. Okay, number 5.
Mistake number 5, not investing in the right tools.
The setup trap. Thinking you can kind of get by with less than ideal equipment when you're first getting established remotely, maybe save a few bucks.
Yeah, and the article is pretty direct on this. They list what they consider essential tools, things like a reliable laptop, a strong, stable internet connection. That's huge quality noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, yeah, key for clear calls.
Absolutely, and an ergonomic chair. Their reasoning is simple. These aren't optional upgrades, they're fundamental. Fundamental to your performance and, just as importantly, your physical well-being over time.
So why should you, listening, look at these things not as expenses but as essential investments? Because your remote setup is your office infrastructure, right?
That's the core idea. Mm. Just like a company provides good equipment in a physical office so employees can work effectively and comfortably, you need to do the same for yourself. Skimping here, it just leads to frustration, slow internet, crashing laptop, poor communication quality, and potentially real physical problems down the road from hunching over a bad chair.
Definitely worth the investment then. Okay, number 6.
Moving on to mistake number 6, forgetting about career development.
This one's interesting because it's maybe less obvious than needing a good chair or internet. You might feel a bit, I don't know, isolated from traditional professional development stuff when you're remote.
Exactly. The article points out you can't rely on that learning by osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in a physical office, overhearing conversations, spontaneous team trainings, that's gone. Remote workers, according to these authors, must be proactive about learning and growth. Their recommendations include things like actively seeking out virtual workshops, maybe pursuing relevant certifications online, and making a conscious effort to stay updated on the latest industry trends through online resources, courses, whatever works.
So how does taking charge of that continuous learning directly affect your ability to advance in the remote work landscape?
Well, the remote world is dynamic, isn't it? Tools, technologies, best practices, they're constantly evolving. So by staying proactive, you ensure your skills remain relevant, you increase your value to clients or your employer, and you position yourself for new opportunities that inevitably emerge in the remote space. You can't afford to stand still.
Good point. Okay, that brings us to the last one, number 7.
Finally, the 7th mistake highlighted in the article, neglecting work-life balance.
Ah, the big one. This is arguably the biggest battleground for remote workers, I think. The fact that your workspace is also your living space means you can work at virtually any time, morning, noon, night.
And the huge danger the article points to is precisely that. Ending up working all the time. The lines blur so easily. It's tempting, or sometimes it feels necessary, to always be on, always available. The source stresses the absolute importance of setting clear boundaries, being really intentional about unplugging after designated work hours, and carving out that non-negotiable time for hobbies, family, friends, self-care, whatever recharges you.
So why is actively protecting your personal time and well-being not just, you know, a nice to have, but actually critical for sustainable remote work success?
The article's point is pretty clear. Burnout is a constant threat when work can just seep into every corner of your life. Setting boundaries isn't just about protecting your evenings or weekends. It's about preserving the energy, the creativity, the mental health you need to do good work in the first place. It's about building a model that can actually last, not just flaming out after 6 months.
Yeah, it really comes down to longevity, doesn't it? Avoiding that trap of being constantly available.
Exactly.
So looking back at everything we've covered from this Virtual Mentor Hub article, the overarching message seems to be that building a successful remote career isn't just about landing a remote job.
No, it's fundamentally about building deliberate habits, mastering those skills like self-management, communication, time management, and cultivating a really mindful approach to integrating work into your life without letting it just consume everything.
And the good news, I guess, is that by understanding these 7 common pitfalls right at the start, you listening are miles ahead. You can begin building the structures and the mindsets to avoid them proactively.
Which brings us quite neatly to the powerful concluding thought the article leaves us with. It's a quote that really sums up this smarter approach, I think.
Yeah, read it out. What does it say?
Okay, it says, "Success in remote work isn't about working harder. It's about working smarter, setting boundaries, and growing with purpose."
Working smarter, setting boundaries, growing with purpose.
Definitely something worth keeping front of mind as you continue on, or maybe even just start your own remote work journey.